Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guests today are Kirill Lysenkov and Alok Shriram. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Good to be here.
And these guys are on the .NET Framework team, and today you're going to show us the .NET Reference Source, which is basically the source code for the .NET Framework online so that people can view it, download it, and even debug into it from their own apps.
Right. Before we go any further, Kirill's on the Roslyn Managed Languages team.
Yes, we are now
the managed. Before I get into trouble for co-opting him into our
This is a collaboration between Roslyn and Managed Languages and the .NET Framework team.
Okay.
So the .NET Framework sort of has had a project called the Reference Source, which has been around for quite a while. And it's sort of been plagued with problems, and it's not been the greatest of experiences. So like today, we're super excited to sort of announce the a new look and feel for the Reference Source project.
So before we do that, let's back up and say, why did we do this? Why, other than, I'm kind of curious, why are we publishing this? Who's it for? Is it for everybody? Is it just for ISVs? Is it for, you know, high-level developers? Is it something everybody can do? What are people going to do with it? Give us some background.
So I'll start off with an example, and then Kirill can jump in with a lot more sort of concrete things. Imagine you're a developer who's writing managed code, and .NET Framework update comes, and suddenly you realize your code doesn't work anymore. What do you do? So earlier on, you had very few options. You just go, well, an update happened.
Go to Connect, file a bug.
Go to Connect, file a bug, and just hope for the best.
Right.
That's not resolved as a won't fix. So now you have the option of actually going, enabling this experience in Visual Studios, stepping through your code, and actually figuring out where the issue is. So you can actually get down to the point where you can tell a developer on the .NET Framework team, hey, dude, the code's busted here.
Okay.
So you can go and fix it. Now, whether we fix it or not.
So you're saying that we ship code with bugs in it?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Wow, that's news.
So basically, we want to make the .NET Framework source code available for everyone. And so .NET developers out there, and I'm myself a .NET developer, sometimes you really need to understand, well, how is this method implemented? What are the derived classes of this particular class, and so on, right? And so what people do usually is just fire up a decompiler tool such as Reflector, ilspire.peek, and loop decompile the decompiled source of the binary. But this doesn't have comments. Navigation is quite good, but not perfect. And so this wasn't just meant for it. And so we wanted to introduce a significantly better experience for everybody out there, for .NET developers who can just see, well, peek into under the curtain, under the hood, and see how is it working.
So you said that we had done this before,
starting
with which version?
So I believe, and this was way before my time on the team, but I believe we started at .NET for version 4.0.
Okay.
It was the first time we announced it, and then we successively did it for .NET version 4.5, and we did an update for somewhere in the middle of .NET 4.5, and there are some fundamental problems that essentially the experience would work only for a short amount of time till you got your first update, and then your PDBs and your DLLs would go out of sync because an update got pushed to your machine, and so you couldn't debug into stuff anymore. And so our earlier setup for this project was more catered to doing these large pushes, and so it wasn't particularly sustainable.
And we're getting more and more iterative nowadays, right?
Okay.
We're getting more agile. We kind of want to ship faster with more updates and stuff. And so we want to be able to that there is up-to-date source out there. And so the other experience that you were able to download the .NET Framework and BCL source offline as an MSI, but then all it had was just the .cs files that you would use, you know, view using Notepad or Sublime or whatever editor you're using. But there was no way to actually browse the offline source code.
And that was actually quite a painful experience because essentially all you get is here's a bunch of CS files.
Right.
Good luck.
Okay.
And It's impossible. Like, I mean, as most users will see, our source structure tends to be a little more convoluted than probably necessary, but it is what it is. And so reasoning about it becomes a lot harder if you're just given a bunch of CS files and go, well, you figure it out.
Okay.
So with this experience, especially with the offline download of the solution file, you can actually, it's pretty much like having the entire .NET framework in VS. and you can sort of right-click and go to definition.
You can go to definition, use peak definition.
Yep, all the cool new stuff in 2013.
Code lens enabled, yep. See number of references.
Yep.
Sweet.
So all of that stuff is in there.
Okay.
The only thing you can do with that solution is actually build it, because we're obviously missing certain like resource files and things like that.
Okay.
But so yeah, to clarify, like the way we're making the .NET Framework source code available with this new release, there's three ways actually. First, obviously, the most natural is the debugging experience. That during debugging, you go to Tools Options, Debugging, and enable .NET Framework source stepping, and then you are able to step into the actual implementation of .NET functions. And there's instructions on the website that tell you how to configure the debugging experience. The second experience is, imagine you are on a plane without an internet connection, and you have Visual Studio and everything mm-hmm. you need. So you want to look at the .NET source code. So you have downloaded previously the .NET framework zip. You unpacked it, and there's the SLN files and the CSproj files that you can open in Visual Studio and browse even without you have an internet connection. And finally, the third way is the new way, where you actually have the opposite situation. You just have an internet connection, but you don't necessarily have downloaded the .NET.
Right.
And nor should you, right? You should be able to quickly go somewhere on a website like this and be able to quickly find what you're looking for. So you do search, which is intelligent semantic search, and then it puts you into this graph, the semantic hyperlink graph of which is the .NET Framework source code, which you can then navigate. And so we used Roslyn to kind of calculate this hyperlinked graph of source code, and you can online, just without having even Visual Studio or anything installed, just navigate hyperlinks, find all references, find derived types, find interface implementations, you know, property reads, property writes, all of this rich information that the compiler gives you. It's available to you.
Sure, let's see it.
Alrighty. So I'll take a gamble here and ask you to give me your favorite .NET framework type. And if it's, I'm hoping it's something that we have indexed.
My favorite type. Ooh, date time.
Okay, date time. All right. So in here, you're seeing so struct date time is the actual.
Do you want to step back?
Oh well, do I need to step aside?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
We're good.
So you have a struct date time. This is sort of the code for the actual date time class. So
you will notice it's colorized. It's hyperlinked. There's line numbers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the goodness is in here. And so now, if you're interested in like, how many places in the framework is datetime used? You could actually go up here and if you click on that. It tells you all the projects in which datetime is actually used. So you can see five references in Visual Basic, yada, yada, yada. So it kind of goes on. So now you can kind of go down to things like interface definitions. What is the interface like defined? And you could.
There's three buttons over there. The first one is the document outline of the current class. It shows you the type and members, very similar to how the navigation bars in the editor work. The second button over there is the project outline, which is very similar to the solution explorer in Visual Studio. And you can expand and it automatically synchronizes with the currently active document. And the third button is the
namespace
hierarchy in the current assembly, which again you can expand and click and quickly go to the type that's interesting.
So go back to date time and show me now. Datetime.now and show me how it differs from today.
Okay.
Is that in there?
Oh, you're still at daylight.
Oh,
time.
Sorry.
Just type datetime.now. Just type dot now. So it finds you, there's only one result, which is the definitions, not the references to datetime. Only finds a definition.
And so that's actually the source code that runs.
That's right.
This is exactly what would run.
And so you can see why UTC Now is faster than now, because it first calls UTC Now and then does some very expensive work to kind of calculate those sets.
Okay.
And what was the other one you said? Datetime dot?
Today.
Today.
There you go.
There you go.
So I can actually look at, if I'm wondering which to use, I can now actually look at the source code and get a sense that this looks like way less work, right?
Exactly.
And it only returns the date. So today returns the date, but not the time.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, obviously I could have probably figured that out by using them, but now not only do I find out what they're doing here, but I actually have a sense of how much Work is involved, and now I know that today's should be significantly faster than now.
Right.
Well, that's cool.
So one of the really interesting things is this tool was actually written for internal use. So we actively use this, and this is one of, like, anytime anybody reports a bug, this is my first go-to. Like, you just go and look at what is the code actually doing. Like,
right.
So it gives you a very quick snapshot without having to go in and listen to source in source, and just it just gives you a very quick way to go, oh, I think I know where the problem is by looking at, you know, this is probably where a condition is not being met or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, I think I found it super, super valuable over sort of my day-to-day work. And like I think this is kind of one of the reasons why we're like, this is so good that we need to kind of share.
So another thought that comes to mind, let's say that I look at a property or a method like today or now, and it doesn't do exactly what I want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
I could then take this code here,
yep,
make a property called, you know, my today in my date time class with my today property or whatever,
yep,
then take that code and then modify it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Obviously, there's no syncing between it, but
sure,
this code probably doesn't change all that often.
Another scenario.
But now I could extend this.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. And so a lot of methods in the .NET framework, they're already there, and they do exactly what you want. And you're looking for them, you find them. The problem is they're internal. And I'm like, okay, what do you do now? Now at least you can just see what the implementation
right
is, copy paste it. Unfortunately, it's better than nothing. So it gives you some pointers.
Yeah, cool.
Can you quickly click the download?
Oh, yes.
So this is how you, there's 50 megabytes of a zip file you kind of.
So I actually have it downloaded somewhere. Downloads, framework reference source.
So there's source, and there's the NDP SLN. Just open it in Visual Studio, and you're able to kind of browse it. And so.
NDP.
This is the
a lot of our customers that don't know what that is. What does NDP stand for?
I would guess it's .NET
Developer
Platform
okay
or something. But
like,
this
there are certain
is
questions you just don't
it's
ask.
Not, all right. New Development Platform, .NET Development Platform, who knows?
Yeah, it's back from the times where C# was called cool. Another features of the browsing experience is that you can do things that are not even easily like possible with Visual Studio, like find interface implementations, find members that override or overload the current member, you know,
mm-hmm,
find the members of the interface that are implemented by this method, for example. And so for locals, parameters, and type parameters, you can also highlight references right there in code. And then the one important thing is that you can now hyperlink mm-hmm any declared symbol of the .NET framework. You can have a very good hyperlink to it and then send it to everybody, like post it on Stack Overflow and stuff, and then it will open the exact location of the exact member. So, for example, datetime.now, suppose you want to send a link to the implementation of like datetime.now,
mm-hmm,
right? So you go there, then you just click this line, copy
sure
shortcut, and
yeah, then
you can, this is a...
And so you pretty much get
cool
dropped out here.
Okay.
So we expect this will be very useful for folks on Stack Overflow who post an answer to a question, like, look how this is implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also useful for reporting bugs, because like you can actually post an exact line of code where you say, hey, here's the bugs right here, or
so,
fix this.
So should the do, should, will, the docs do the same thing? Like if I go to the docs for datetime.now, should
we hope in
could,
the future
will
we'll all be hyperlinked, right?
We are hoping that we can get to the point where like this is we want this to be
that'd be nice. That'd be a nice feature.
We want this to be a resource that's
hopefully there's a way to automate it without having to do it manually
for every
page.
So some of the interesting things are all of these are deterministic.
Mm-hmm.
The links are deterministically generated. So we have a way that we can actually prescriptively tell people that you can use this particular algorithm to generate the link.
Okay.
So so we're kind of working on that, and hopefully you can see something in the docs pages soon.
Mm-hmm.
We have something in the works. But yeah, I mean, effectively, it's just something we want more and more people to start leveraging as time goes forward.
So let's do another example around the async stuff. So can I use this to go learn more about how tasks work, for example,
exactly.
Like task.run. You know, what is going on there?
Right on. So,
I mean, there was a I saw a thread on from some customers that mentioned that they saw a number of Channel 9 videos, including the guys. Some guys were on this show a few weeks ago.
Oh, who, is this the one where they said the notion of async is not integrated?
That's the one.
Well
so
enough.
You saw that too. Yeah. So the comment was that there are a number of videos on Channel 9. Some guys were on this show who, you know, were, according to the person who started this thread, not making proper use of async.
Yep.
And everybody, and this person said, you know, all Microsoft people should watch Lucien's videos on using tasks in async. And it's, you know, it's sometimes difficult. Async is not that easy a topic,
sure.
I will
not
say.
Easy at all.
Yeah, so I guess my question here is, can I use the source to get a better sense of what's going on, or is it just going to confuse me even
definitely.
More?
Definitely. It's going to help. It's going to help. When you see like how continue with works internally, how task.unwrap works, task, you know, all of these methods are very helpful, and to see which one calls the which one and what are the semantics, how does cancellation token gets passed and
exactly.
stuff.
Okay.
And so it is helpful for your homework, put it this
way. All right, good.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Anything else we're missing?
So show me how to debug.
Yes.
Can I debug into the framework, and what's the scenario where that would be really useful for me?
Right on. So I'll take back my, let's close this guy. All right. So let's just talk about like how do you set it up. So essentially the setup for this is
tools options.
Tools options, relatively straightforward. You go to general, and there's a couple of checkboxes you have to check, because there's people in the IDE who believe that there should not be a causative relation between things being checked and other things being unchecked.
Okay.
So going through that.
Disable just my code.
Yes, disable this. Enable .NET Framework.
This is the magic sauce.
Is this in all versions of Visual Studio?
It should be
starting with 2010, right?
I believe.
I mean Express. Pro, Premium, Ultimate,
I believe,
you know?
It should be there in all versions.
Okay.
But yeah, I can, yeah, I'm not 100% sure. But enable .NET Framework source stepping, which is this sort of the secret sauce, as Will mentioned. Step over properties, you need to disable that, because you don't want to step over properties, because you want to be able to go into them. And then you say enable source server support. The last one is require source files to exactly match the original version.
Turn it off, right?
Turn it off, sorry, my bad. And the reason for this
is that documented somewhere?
Yeah.
So, yes. we have a blog post on the .NET blog where we've documented all these
And
steps,
it's right there on the website.
And it's on
too.
The website as well.
Good.
So effectively, the reason for that last step is essentially before we can push out sources, we have to make sure nobody put in a cuss word in our comments. Which normally wouldn't matter, but in this case it does. So we have a sanitized.
I hope system. We stopped doing that a very long time ago.
So, yes, we all hope.
All right, show us some.
All right,
show us some debugging.
All right, so now we're in here, and this is just a toy little example.
Yeah, for example, do you know what sorting algorithm is used in the framework? Heap sort, quick sort.
I do not know.
All See, right. That's interesting. Let's find out.
We can say debug, and we can say, debug, start debugging. We're in here. So
F11.
F11. Voila, we're in here. So we're in the sort method in the list.cs file. And we can work through that. And there's an array.sort. We go in. And now we're stepping through .NET Framework code. You have all the things about you have your stack frames, which are right present here. The breakpoints, and try let's see. So yeah,
cool.
So yeah, so.
And I also saw in there that there was some conditional compilation based on version of the phone. So this would give you a sense potentially of how sort works differently in a .NET app versus a Windows Phone app versus a Windows
Silverlight
8 app, potentially Silverlight.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Sometimes it can get a little hard to reason about because we have so many of those. But yes, I mean, definitely gives you
And so this is where the online experience is slightly better, because the online experience has those defines for the desktop framework. And so mm-hmm. you will have the right code always highlighted and enabled, and you can browse it.
Cool.
So that's sort of like this requires you to be connected to the internet. So
the debugging requires you to be connected?
Yes.
Why can't you debug based on the code you downloaded?
So the code that you download is basically just a solution file. So it doesn't have any PDBs.
Oh, okay. Right? I see.
So the fundamental thing that you need to get first when you're trying to debug anything is the PDB.
Right.
Once you get the PDB, you can get to the sources.
And this is why we enable the source server, because...
I see.
Right. So as I mentioned, this experience has been broken in the past, and the reason was we released 4.0 as a big update, and then the first patch Tuesday comes along, and you got an update on MS Corelib. You can't debug into MS Corelib anymore because the DLL on your disk doesn't match the PDB that's on reference source. So starting from 4.5.1, what we've done today is basically gone back for starting from 4.5.1 and indexed all the conceivable builds that we've released onto our reference source server
mm-hmm.
along with the sources. And so if you're on a 4.5.1 build, you should be able to debug through regardless of what weird update combination you're on, you should be able to debug in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a possibility that this is a combinatorial problem, that we might have missed something. And if we have, please, I'd encourage you guys to let us know.
There's a feedback link on the website.
A feedback link on the website. There are a couple of debugging steps about, like you can run a tool, and it'll tell you what exactly is the PDB that you should be looking for,
and
that we might have missed. So send us information, and we'll try and turn this around as fast as possible. As Kirill mentioned,
And we will try to kind of wrap this more incrementally without having to wait 2 years between releases.
Okay.
So hopefully there's more goodness coming online and subsequently.
So the code in the source server is always up to date. Code I download that project may not always be up to date.
Correct.
That's probably the released version, the
that
official.
Our current plan for this is for the website and the download of the source, we'll go every major version, so 4.5.1, and then when we go 4.5.2 or 4.5.3, we'll update it accordingly. For the debugging experience, since you actually need the current PDBs, we're going to push
everything.
Whenever a security update goes out, we're going to push the PDBs. We're going to try and push the sources. The reason I say try is for certain cases, like security updates, we can't push the security fix.
Sure.
Because of disclosure concerns, in which case all our PDB will basically point you to the last good shipped version of the source file.
Okay.
So if you happen to step into that one source file where the security fix was made, your debugging experience might be a little off depending on where this fix was, because your offsets will be off. But beyond that, it should be a fairly seamless experience.
So is the entire .NET framework in here?
There's 77 assemblies currently. It's not all of it.
Yep.
Some of them are missing, and we will be continually working on adding more and more sources.
And then what about things that are already open source, like Entity Framework, ASP.NET, things that are updated on a fairly regular basis that you would typically get from a NuGet package? Are those in there?
Right. So the .NET Framework team is also kind of adopted NuGet as one of our shipping mechanisms. So as of right now, they're not in here, but our plans are there are certain things that we need to go through just to make sure people are okay with us releasing the sources for certain products or certain parts of the
product. Think that things that are already open source would be perfectly okay with it.
For open source stuff,
because they've already done it.
Yeah, for the open source stuff, we definitely want to add.
It's a matter of time.
It's just a matter of
time. We'll keep working on it. This is just the beginning. We want to pay more attention, resources to this thing. So.
And then I guess a follow-up question would be, would third parties that release NuGet packages be able to hook into this system?
So they could reference into the system?
I don't think they will be able to add their source code to this particular repository.
Okay.
But we are investigating. We're just thinking, well, how can we improve the experience for everybody out there, right? And so there's definitely investigations going on, but there's nothing that we don't even have any plans or any ideas. We're just starting to investigate. So this Roslyn, so the browsing experience wouldn't be possible without Roslyn. Yep. And Roslyn really started coming online. And so this is probably one of the first benefits that you will see from Roslyn, apart from us being able to kind of develop it faster and better and ship more features sooner. But there will be, this is just one of the examples where Roslyn compiler as a service is able to kind of provide you a better experience in an area where you wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool.
Sweet.
Very cool stuff.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very
much. The website where people should go
is reference source beta.microsoft.
For now it's dash beta, but
for now it's beta.
And we will be switching this over to reference source.microsoft.com.
Okay.
So this is the website.
reference source-beta.microsoft.com will be reference source.microsoft.com.
Yep.
What's the time frame on that? Pretty soon?
Well, pretty soon. So a couple of weeks, I imagine.
Okay.
We wanted to just preview this for folks to get a sense of what is the new experience and what the old experience was, which was quite horrible. So we're not expecting too much pushback, but we just want to make sure that if there's any content that folks there were relying on, that they have enough of an opportunity to take it out.
So cool stuff. You get the ability to look into the framework, see the source code, which helps you better understand the code you're writing, the ability to debug in, the ability, as we saw with the tasks and the async stuff, to potentially better understand if you understand what a method does, how we wrote it, then obviously you get a better understanding of what it's doing. So it can be used as a learning experience.
Some of those comments in the source code are actually really valuable, and they're not on the MSDN, they're not on the blogs. They're just the developer who wrote this code, put a comment in, and then it was not visible to anybody. But now hopefully this will clarify a lot. And you know how some people say source code is the best documentation.
Yes.
Now you have the best documentation out there ready for you to use, and hopefully a comfortable and pleasurable both online and offline browsing experience.
All right, cool. Thanks for showing this to us.
Thank you very much.
So check it out. Let us know what you think. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.